Hello and welcome to lesson number 8 in 2 Timothy. We call it God's Church Manual because it tells us how to do it and how to do it the way God wants it done in our local churches. Chapter 3, we're focusing on what we need to know, and it begins by focusing on the corruption that will come in the churches. Verse 1 says, This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. That word perilous means hard to do. Hard to do times shall come in our local churches. Well, we're there today. There's always been corruption outside of the churches, but as we get to the end of the age, we find that God says it's going to be infiltrating into the churches. 2,000 years ago, they had problems. It was hard to do. They had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain of the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth, Hebrews 11:36-38. I think we would say without any argument, it was hard to do times back there concerning what was going on outside of the churches, the attacks that were coming. And so we get into chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, and he says, know that the corruption is going to be in the churches. It's interesting that the phrase "this know" is only found twice in the Bible. Here we have it in Luke chapter 12, where Jesus said, "This know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through." We could say today, "And this know, if the pastor of the church had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his church to be broken through." It's interesting, as I said, the phrase "this know" is only found twice. Paul said, "This know, this is going to come," future tense. Jesus looks at it in the past tense, too late. The goodman wasn't watching. He didn't know. The thief came and destroyed everything, as we have today. If you look at the little icon there in the bottom right corner, the wolves are inside, the rock and roll music's going. I remember when I was in my 20s going to these fundamental meetings where they had fundamental independent Baptist churches, and they were fundamental. They were sticking with the Word of God. Most of those are like the picture that we see here in this corner. They're not churches anymore. They're rock and roll centers, entertaining Christianettes, and these wolves have gotten on the inside, and they play in the rock and roll junk because that's what their appetite wants. And there's a few Christians in there that haven't got enough sense to get out. Get out of that mess. Go and start another church and make it fundamental like it used to be. And so the corruptors, at the beginning of chapter 3, God gives us a list of people who will be members of churches during what he calls perilous times. There's going to be in the churches lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, unthankful, unholy. Verse 3 says, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what's going on in a lot of what used to be fundamental churches, because they didn't pay attention to God's church manual, where it tells us in 1 and 2 Timothy and also the book of Titus how things need to be done. The context of 1 and 2 Timothy is very important. Remember, we read back in 1 Timothy 3, these things Paul said, I write unto thee, Timothy, who is a pretty solid fundamental pastor, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou, Timothy, ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth, because if if Timothy wasn't going to do what is written in 1 and 2 Timothy, it's going to end up like the icon on the following page there. And if we do not do what is in 1 and 2 Timothy as pastors today and know how we ought to behave in the house of God, and regardless of the cost, do what it says in these books, then we're going to focus, we're going to have this mess that we're seeing in many churches today because fundamental pastors who one time fundamental, they changed, and so we need to be careful not to change today. It's very important to understand the focus on 1 and 2 Timothy is not on evangelizing lost people. That is a very important subject. However, it's not the subject of these two epistles. The corruptors, the Bible says, will come. They shall come. The context has nothing to do with wicked people in the world. Paul was warning Timothy that he needed to be sure that he would scripturally handle what was coming into his local church. And it's written, for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. These things happen unto them, the Bible says, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. This apostasy is coming. It is our responsibility as pastors to keep it out of our churches. So what we need is a course of action. A course of action is a procedure adopted to deal with a situation. What do we need to do? Well, it's all written in 1 and 2 Timothy, and in the previous programs, we have been looking at chapter 3, what we need to know, and chapter 4, what we need to do. Now, we need to know 1 Timothy 3:8, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Are you, well, Paul, are you naming those names right out loud? Yes. Why is this in the Bible? So we do the same thing today. Forget your buddies and lining up and say, well, I can't name these people because I want to remain friends with everybody. You better remain friends with Jesus. That's a better idea. Well, what happens, these also resist the truth, and we fill the church with men of corrupt mind, reprobate concerning the faith. Years ago, A.W. Tozer said as many as 90% of the people who are in our churches are not saved. That's back in the 60s he said that. What would he say today? Well, we have chapter 1. This is how we need to think. Chapter 2, this is what we need to be. Chapter 3, this is what we need to know. And chapter 4, this is what we need to do. Now, we choose. Today, we choose today. We either choose to do what it says in those four chapters, or we choose the icon of those who resist the truth. Well, no. 1 Timothy 3:10 and 12. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Oh, we don't want any of that persecution stuff today. Let's be politically correct. That means we have politically correct fundamentalism. We're not going to offend anybody. Well, what we need to know, he went on to say in verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In Matthew chapter 24, the disciples asked Jesus, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? He said in verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you. Verse 5, many shall come and shall deceive many. Verse 11, many false prophets shall deceive many. Verse 24, false prophets shall deceive. There's going to be a lot of deception, but he's talking to his disciples here. He says, take heed that no man deceive you. Well, we get into chapter 4, and it talks about what we need to do, and basically it's preach the word. He said to that fundamental pastor there named Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. You're going to be judged how you do this, fundamental pastor Timothy. What do I need to do to make sure I'm doing it right then? Oh, here's what Paul said to Timothy, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preach the word. He said with all longsuffering and doctrine, whether it's in season or whether it's out of season. Now, it's out of season right now. It's just not seasonal to preach the whole Word of God, because if we do, the Bible says for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So the average pastor who calls himself a fundamentalist today says, well, I don't want them all leaving, so I guess I'll have to compromise. And that's how we got the mess that we're into today. Well, we'll leave it there for now. Be sure and tune in for our next message. Again, we're looking at chapter 4 on what we need to do.